Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
That there will be people through the song, through the worship, through the celebration, and through the message, that we will send a message that hopelessness does not belong in the equation of our lives ever again. Father, every ounce of hopelessness that's under the influence of a lie, I believe by faith, you will shred it, destroy it, and empower people to hope again and dream big in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love Star Wars. Don't worry, no spoilers here. Why I like it is because it's not the critic who counts. It's the person who steps into an adventure with childlike wonder in a galaxy far, far away who awakens to their destiny, and something divine pops in us when we see an adventure in a galaxy far, far away. We were born to actually change worlds. Come on. That's why we like it. I'm not going to give away the plot line, but I do feel that what God is doing in this series that we're in speaks to where I feel God is taking us, similar to that thought process. You know, it's interesting that we need Hollywood sometimes to remind the church to awaken to their authentic identity. You know, that movie a couple years ago, The Force Awakens. Well, let me tell you something. We don't need New Age, we have the Holy Spirit. And we're awakening to our authentic identity in Christ. And that means, as many of you hear often, there is nothing that Jesus didn't say, do, or model that we can't say, do, or model. Nothing. It's all on the table. It's all on the table. And so as I was praying about this morning, we've been in a series on kings and priests, and I did it completely opposite. Normally I would have gone kings first, then priests, but as many of you know, a couple of weeks ago, I preached on priests. And what priest doesn't mean is that it's just a couple of elite pastors or priests in a particular denomination that do all the praying and all the intercession and all of that. No. The Bible says that we are all kings and we are all priests, meaning, if you consider the fact that we broker heaven's realities and we bring it here, we have access in Christ to bring his world to this world. I say it every week. To do that, we mediate and bring his reality into this one. So we have the privilege of finding out what Jesus is saying up there and bringing it here. We're like gates. And then, backed by heaven's resource and reality, he funds his kids. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he said, I'm the king over the kings of the earth. And the kings of the earth aren't just for people to come and build up their earthly empires. No, this isn't Empire Strikes Back. This is sons and daughters of the Most High who were born into royalty to rule and reign and to serve humanity well. That's the idea of a king and a queen. So now that we've established that, I want to talk to you about some kings that we see in the nativity scene, which really was a couple of years after the scene that we normally talk about. And I want to talk to you about the wise men. Matthew 2, verse 10 says this. It says, when they, the kings, the wise men, the magi, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were not sanitized Christians on a journey following a star. These were magi. They are the modern day equivalent of our New Age Wiccans, warlocks, priests of the New Age movement, witches and wolves and all of that. They were not sanitized. They were, could be considered scary. It would be like going to some New Age psychic, whatever. It would be going to that thing and getting a revelation that, there must be something really supernatural happening at Elevation Church. I think I'll stumble in there because maybe the presence of God is there. Are you alive? I'm saying this because I want you to understand what's coming. There's a tsunami of people from all walks of life that are coming and following signs to where the presence of God inhabits a house, and he inhabits this one, and it's going to be progressive. So you better buckle up, Dorothy, because the witches, warlocks, wolves, and magi, they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. I'm prophetically decreeing that, but here's what I want to say. You're a part of the story in a galaxy far, far away. Couple of responses. I want to talk to you about the response of royalty as kings and queens. There's two aspects in this story that I want to hit on. First of all, I want to focus on the wise men. Then I want to focus on Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. The wise men, you know, wise men still seek Jesus. You know that wise men still follow signs and stars. Not from an astrology perspective, but more from looking at what God is doing in the midst in everyday moments. Do you understand that you are so jacked in to the presence of God that as you're doing the laundry, you could get a word from the Lord in that moment that alters your destiny forever and points you to follow a star, and at that moment, you don't hesitate. You get up and you go when nothing makes sense except to follow that sign. See, all of us long for the journey in a galaxy far, far away. Not everyone's willing to do it. What God is breathing on us, and this is, let me just put it to you this way. I've been saying this series has some nice information, and that's great. What I've been saying, though, is that this series has a prophetic thrust that is so deep. For those that catch it, their 2020 will be totally different than it was in 2019. For those that don't steward it and just keep it common, guess what it's going to be in 2020? Common. How many of you want to go and blast off to a galaxy far, far away? Great, then follow the star and follow the signs of what he's saying. Here's what happens. They come on a two-year journey. They go on this pilgrimage. They show up there, and the Bible says right there very clearly that they literally worship him. They come in, and they worship him. And that's, wise men still worship Jesus. Wise men do that. And they worship him. And then the Bible says they open their treasures to him. I want to propose that these gifts were not cheap gifts. I'd like to propose that they were lavish gifts. Gold was for royalty. It was from kings to give to kings. Translation, out of our kingly wealth, we give back to King Jesus. The frankincense and the myrrh were for incense for deity and burial. So what was being demonstrated in that moment of Jesus' incarnation was to predicate something in the future which was coming for his death, burial, and resurrection. Here's what's astounding about these gifts brought to the king. On the one hand, it was wise of the wise men to avoid going back towards Herod after Herod, as you know the story, wanted to find out who this King Jesus really was. I know many of you know the Christmas story. Herod's, the political spirit, will always try to kill a move of God through legislation. It'll always happen. But Jesus is bigger than that. And here's what happens. These wise men show up. They came in following a star. They came to Jesus in crazy ways. How many of us have come to Jesus in crazy ways? Their heart posture was to lay and open up their treasures, frankincense, gold, myrrh. In 2020, here's what God is saying to you, and I cannot be more clear. When you have the sign to follow the star to go when Jesus invades your spheres of influence in your work, in church, wherever you go, in your car, when the presence of God shows up and he summons you to that moment, will you not hesitate to engage? He laid those gifts. They came, they laid the gifts. Here's what I want to say, though. Mary and Joseph opened their home. So imagine the scenario, wherever you are. If you've grown up in a culture that is prejudiced against witches, warlocks, wolves, pagans, people of other colors or other political persuasion. Hello? Whoa, what if your assignment is directly correlated to the people that you can't stand? Boom. What if your breakthrough and your gifting, calling, and anointing are assigned to people that you're prejudiced towards? Because Mary and Joseph weren't. They opened their home, the Bible says. Mary and Joseph opened their home. What they didn't know was that that was going to be the resource to help them get to Egypt when all Herod broke loose and tried to kill and abort the move of God. Are y'all with me? Are you alive? Can you understand what I'm saying here? What I'm saying in 2020 is this: God is going to send covert people, places, and things and resources and things you didn't see coming one way to flow through you so he can get it through you to someone else, and your breakthrough is tied to people that you don't even like right now. Wow, I just said that. It means we better be good conduits who know how to receive well and give well. And that's what I want to go after, is this idea of the abundance of grace. Romans 5:17 says it real clear, that the word is receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that we reign in life. Put it to you this way: a lot of times we want to earn the gifts that the wise men brought, but God is saying, no, position your heart to receive in 2020, and as you do that, then you can give. This is big. This is a prophetic word, because for those of us who love to get her done and we like to go, hey, you know, look what God did. Look what God did. We want to take credit for a move of God. Let's be real. Can we be real? Sometimes we want to do that. But what God is saying is, no. I'm going to pour out my grace in unconventional ways. I'm going to ask you to look up when it's inconvenient and when all, you know what's breaking loose. And I'm going to say, here's the star, follow the sign, and watch me work my wonders. It's going to require pilgrimage, and it's going to require sacrifice. You see in Romans that we receive the gift of grace. I said it last week. There was an uncommon grace. Evan and Amy Pfeiffer, are you here? Evan. Hi, Evan. You got hit with an uncommon grace last year, a gift of generosity, getting a car from a gift of generosity from people in our, it was an amazing testimony. That's uncommon. That's amazing. That's a gift of grace. They have been giving and receiving, and they learned how to receive. Hallelujah. Some of you want to make jobs happen. What God is saying, position your heart to receive, and then I'll bring it. But I might bring it in ways you didn't see coming. See, Mary and Joseph had to get over the fact that they were the chosen people, and looking at people outside their sphere, God was welcoming them into our midst. I'm saying to you very, very clearly, in 2020, I cannot be more clear about this. This is a prophetic word. I'm telling you. People who are not like you, people who do not think like you, they may not even like our style of church. They're coming. And they're going to go, why do I like this church again? I'll tell you why. Because there's this little baby in a manger, and the presence of God is so pronounced that the only response is for wise men to fall down and worship. That's why. We have the privilege to partner with that. So in this story, I want to say this. They came one way. The wise men came in one way. They left another way. When we have encounters with God, we have two ways to do it. We can go back to the old way of doing it. Can you imagine if that wise men had gone back to Herod again instead of going a different way than the way they came? I feel like in 2020, God is saying to us, the things that you followed to get here, you cannot go back there. Because if you go back there, there's something out there that wants to kill where you're going here. But if you try to go back there, he's going to try to kill what God is doing. So God is saying, come in one way and go out another way. As I said, this is not so much informational, this is prophetic. Your ability to receive what I'm saying affects your 2020. I can't even believe I'm saying this. Thank God it's God saying this, not me, just through me. I wouldn't have the guts to say this. I guess I have the guts to say this. Freely, Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. It's the responsibility and the response of royalty, knowing that we need to learn how to give and to receive. You know, one without the other is incomplete. I'll tell you, there have been times in my life where I've been very and extremely uncomfortable with lavish gifts. And let me tell you why. When someone does something lavish for me, my first inclination, maybe you've been like me, is if I got an extravagant gift like that, my first thought, oh no, I owe you. Oh no. So now this puts me in a jam because now I feel like I've got to earn what you've already given me. Does this sound like familiar to you? However, maybe I can just receive the abundance of grace and use it as a gift from a king to a king to honor the king so that I can honor other kings and queens. This is what God's doing. There's going to be a flow in 2020, a wave of not just generosity, but a wave of kindness, a wave of compliments. I mean, there's going to be so many extreme, extravagant opportunities in 2020 for us to step into. But if we treat our 2020 as common, what will we receive? Common. I want more. How about you? I want more. Here's what I want. I want what God is saying, and I'm willing to pilgrimage to get it. And I'm also willing, like Mary and Joseph, say, be it unto me according to your word, and all that you're birthing inside of me, I say yes and amen. That's the heart posture that God is saying. I'm saying, what would it be like to live in a culture in 2020 where signs, wonders, and miracles are so pronounced that the stuff that we read in the Bible, which we need to feed on, we actually model, but not just model the signs, wonders, and miracles, but I'm talking astonishing moves of God where your businesses, with uncommon favor, the generosity and kindness of God hit you like a wave, and your first response is to give glory and honor and to worship the King of Kings because you have visited his house and he is flooring you, and everyone around you is going, what just happened to you? Are you willing to step into that moment and say, it's all him? Because everyone says, yeah, I want to receive. But in 2020, will you allow his grace to so work on you, his goodness to so define you, that you can't help but think about worshiping him, even if it costs you with people's opinions around you? I mean, everyone loves the, yeah, I'm ready to receive. I'm all for that. What about the giving part? I want to tie John 12 back to this story in just a second. The thing I want to impress, though, is this. I have this gift card here. This was given to me by one of our people. Very, very, very kind. And it has a nice balance on it. Here's the problem, though. It's worthless unless I go to the place to spend it. It has a balance. By faith, if I drove to this establishment, by faith, I could use that and it would pay the bill. A lot of times we have bills that could have been paid for that we're trying to pay and pay out of our own resource when we've been given this unused gift card to be able to access things that we didn't know were there because by faith we didn't realize what was in our account, what was in this card. God is saying in 2020, you have unused Christmas gift cards that he is giving you all over, but look up, follow the sign, get pregnant with what I'm doing, pay attention to what I'm doing, consecrate yourself, set aside time as a priest to find out what I'm doing, so like those Zoroastrian non-covenant magi, you who have the Holy Spirit can follow my star and point you to places in a galaxy far, far away that is going to change your destiny and those around you. You have untapped, unused graces in your account. And the only way to access them is to go to the establishment. Some of you are going to get pregnant this year with this idea that the church is a safe place again, and your grace is somebody else's grace will help coincide and commingle to help take you both places where you've never been before. This is what God's doing. I mean, can I just speak super plain right now? Can I just do that? I'm gonna anyway, so. I love Christmas holidays. I love vacations. I love family. I love cottages in the summer. But can I need to be as clear as I can. If we want a different 2020, you might have to make more pilgrimages in here to change the culture out there. Meaning, you can't come 1.6 times a month on Sunday. You might have to sacrifice an extra Sunday or two to be in here and serve to help change the culture. You might have to give up an extra cottage visit. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what God's saying. You might have to lay something at the altar. But guys, I see it. I see it so clear. I see it so clear. How do we respond as royalty when the beacon, when the star is out there? John 12. These are three responses in here, really four in this, that tie into what I just told you about the wise men. I think it'll land the plane right. In John chapter 12, we see Jesus. He's now right before his death, burial, and resurrection. So we've gone from the nativity scene to the crucifixion scene. And along the way, as many of you know, he raises Lazarus from the dead. And he's about to journey to the cross. He's real close. And in this moment, he goes to a house, another house. He inhabits this house. John 12, verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover began, Jesus went back to Bethany, the town where he raised Lazarus from the dead, and they had prepared a supper for Jesus. Martha served. Lazarus and Mary were among those at the table. Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a liter of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet. Then she wiped them dry with her long hair, and the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. But Judas the locksmith, Simon's son, the betrayer, spoke up and said, "Wait a minute, what a waste! We could have sold this perfume for a fortune and given the money to the poor." In fact, Judas had no heart for the poor. He only said this because he was a thief and he was in charge of the money case. He would steal money whenever he wanted from the funds given to support Jesus' ministry. And Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She's saved it for the time of my burial. You're going to always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me." Jesus was able to receive from his Father, and Jesus modeled the ability to receive from people. If we can't receive in the name of independence and self-dependence, if we can't learn to receive from the graces of other people, then we are not acting like Jesus. We need to be able to receive honor. It's one thing to be able to receive a compliment, but what if God hit you with something so profound that it rattled your ancestors? And if there's a lie that says you can't be that, I refer back to Romans 5:17, where it says he is willing to give an abundance of grace to everyone for every assignment, to reign in life, to serve humanity well. What I'm assaulting right now is the lie in your head that you're hearing right now that says you can't have that kind of grace. And I'm saying, wake up, this card is for you. Use it. The key is to celebrate the responses in the moment. This is where judginess has to die in church cultures. Let's look at the responses. Jesus, here's what he doesn't do. "Oh, Mary, too extreme, no thanks." He doesn't say that. He receives it. "Martha, Martha, Martha, Martha." In Luke 10, we get a picture of Martha as the obsessive compulsive housekeeper, sandwich maker who's doing all this stuff and not enjoying Jesus' presence. But I want to paint a picture in John 12 that I think, if that's the case, she learned a lesson. Because in John 12, which is later, we know that because Lazarus has now been resurrected, the Bible says Martha served. It doesn't say that she was distracted. It might mean that the appropriate response for Martha when the presence of God hit a scene, when the presence of God came in a church, when the presence of God came, she didn't nitpick at Mary who was sitting at the table while Martha was serving out of her act of service. She was perfectly content to serve up the sandwiches that Jesus had ordered when the presence hit. Mary was totally fine eating at the table, and so was Lazarus. After all, a week ago, he's dead. He was kind of happy to feast on the word and feast on what God was saying. That's, by the way, a prophetic word for some of you. Some of you have been dead this year, and God is saying, feast on his word at the table and watch me change your destiny this next year. Get in the word. Sidebar, that's for somebody. That's appropriate response. So look at the scene. What if Lazarus said, well, Mary, I can't believe you're doing that with the alabaster jar. And Martha's going, yeah, Mary, my gosh, do you ever serve? And Lazarus, you're just always dead, really, seriously. You're just dead. Everything you do is just dead. You're just dead. No, I don't see that response to the presence. What I see is different reactions all under the same house. What God is saying is there are times in our walk together as a community and as a body, we need to celebrate the Martha serving, the intercessors praying, the people feasting, the teachers teaching, the grace gifts benefiting one to another. Many parts, one body. Yes? All right, you're catching this. It means that we have to be comfortable doing all of it. There's a response to royalty. But Mary's gift, I want to finish. Aaron, if you would come up, and then I want to close. Mary's gift was profound. And I feel like the part of that text that just really grabbed me, the Bible says, I mean, first of all, this was a year's worth of wages. So I want you to think about the moment. Think about this. How forgiven was Mary? How much deep intimacy with Jesus and worship did she have where she took a year's worth of wages in that alabaster jar and she, in the moment when the presence of God spoke, when the star was available, when the pilgrimage was made available, when the thought came, she did not hesitate. She took it and poured it out all over Jesus' feet. Why? Because she was sitting at the table in position to pour it out on Jesus' feet. And then the Bible says she used her hair to actually rub it in. And the odor was so pronounced that every pore in the house could ooze from that encounter with Jesus Christ. In 2020, you are going to be a fragrance, like Corinthians says, a fragrance of Christ that is so profound everywhere you walk. This is a prophetic act that he's doing right now, by the way. He is prophetically walking around here to signify that odor, that smell, that fragrance that you're smelling right now, that is God prophesying into your 2020 that you're going to so saturate everyone around you that people are, no, it's unmistakable. That's Jesus. They've been with Jesus. That's what God is doing in 2020. And there's always a Judas to criticize a move of God and to have voices rise up in opposition to extreme maneuvers. Mary's gift was extreme. Here's the part that I want to say as we close. God is going to hit some of you with extreme gifts this year. Your ability to receive them are crucial. Part of you being in position to receive them is you need to be at the table feasting when he's feasting, which means you got to follow the sign to get there, which means you also got to feast on his word to get in position to know what to do. Because if you don't know what to do and you don't know what he said, you won't know what he's saying. The Bible tells us what he said. He can also tell us what he's saying through the Bible, but he can also tell us through an encouraging word or someone in our culture. In fact, he might even use a magi. Here's one for you. What if God's breakthrough for you in 2020 comes from a non-believer, warlock, wolf, witch, or pagan? What would you do with that? Would you stand? I've got three responses. Three responses that I feel God wants us to go after today. If we could have our ministry team come forward. I want you to understand something about Mary. Put yourself in her story. Step into it. See, when you understand people's experience, when you know how deeply she was forgiven, the things that she went through, the things that she walked through, you know, it's like this. When you understand my pain, now you will understand my extravagance. You walk through what I've been through, then you'll understand my response. God is saying courage over his church. He is not looking for milquetoast Christianity to change the world. He's looking for people who are extreme, who will follow a star, who will go after signs and crazy wonders, to go after a King of Kings and Lord of Lords to change the atmosphere everywhere they walk, at home, that are willing to get honest about the pain they've walked through, but willing in a moment's notice to drop an alabaster jar and give out of the substance of everything, because they're giving their substance to the King of Kings as a king. That's who we are in 2020. And I've got news for you. If you received the receiving message, here's another one for you. Get ready. God is going to ask you to drop an atomic bomb alabaster jar this year. Somewhere, in some way. It doesn't even have to be money, but it might. It may be your time, because your time is your alabaster jar. Your service may be your alabaster jar. And I said this in the first service, I'm going to say it again. There's a response of people who've been hurt by church, who've used this narrative, because I've done it. I'm sure you have it. Maybe some of you have, not all of you. But I had this thread in my head that one time said, I don't want to serve the church again because the church hurt me, therefore I will withhold my gift out of pain. And what God is saying, you don't have the right to hold on to your gift. You express it to him regardless of how you feel. You bring it to the altar. You bring your box. I couldn't complain and say, God, you're not using me, if I'm willing to not be used. Well, I don't want to be used. Maybe that's the problem. Who are you to say what he does with the leaders that are using what God you brought to him? Meaning, if you are not led well this year, God is dealing with me and other leaders to help lead. He'll deal with us, but you bring your gift. Does that make sense? I know that's bold, but remember, we're all interconnected. Don't let church, that's for somebody that needs to get prayer after service. The other response as I close, I had two more prophetic words that I just want to read out. By the way, I feel like too, Pastor Dennis, where are you? Are you here? Pastor Dennis? He came up to me. I feel like there's some people in here who need to receive Jesus, and the invitation is there. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you've never been born again, meaning you've never said yes to Jesus' invitation to become a new creation, to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, Pastor Dennis will pray for you this very day. Yeah, I didn't say this in the first service, but this is for someone in the second, and then we're going to close. It says, maybe your gift to Jesus is dining and feasting with him because, like Lazarus, there were aspects of your life that were dead, and God is resurrecting that. And the response of royalty in this hour is for you to feast on his word and encounters with him. There were aspects of your life that were dead, and God is resurrecting that. And you've run from feasting in the Bible. You've run from feasting from this house. And God is saying, come, feast in my house, and I will give you your purpose and your assignment. Amen. Holy Spirit, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you, God, that people are going to respond to hope. If there's people in this room that need an encouraging word, I pray that not only the people here at the front that can pray with them to get that encouraging word, not only is it released here, but even amongst our body as they leave, they will get excited about being gracious receivers and gracious givers. And that wise men and women position themselves at the table to feast on what you're doing in 2020. And we shred hopelessness, which is under the influence of a lie. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. I hope to see you Tuesday.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.